Would you turn to Revelation chapter 2? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Would you read it with me, starting at verse 1? And to the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Well, that's a wonderful church, isn't it? Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have what? Left your first love. You know, so many times people get caught up in works that they lose their first love. We get caught up in doing the things for, and we have such a desire to do things for God, but we lose our first love because we're doing it not only for Him. See, the world has a tendency to have to work to show how much they love. Does everybody understand that? You and I have to die to show how much we love. Mean to what? Die to yourself. Does everybody understand that? Now, he says, because you have lost your first love. Now, verse 5, look at what it says. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. No, in other words, remember where you have been separated, where you fell away. Repent and do the first works. In other words, go back and finish what I asked you to do. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. These are areas that bring storms. Are you with me? Come on, say it with me. This is an area that will bring a storm. Once I lose my first love. See, we've got to come to a place where we go back and remember where we came from. You know, even Jesus said something very powerful. He said, listen, don't rejoice that you can cast out a devil. Amen? But rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Well, how did that begin? Because you got saved. Amen? So never get so caught up in your work and all the things that you're doing for God. You want to get caught up in Him. That's the first thing that will bring a storm in your life. Are you with me? Now, go to Psalm 55. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 55. Bless your holy name, Lord. Is everybody there? Let's start at verse 1. Let's read this together, please. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am what? Restless in my complaint and moan noisily. Because of the voice of the enemy. Because of the what? The voice of the enemy. Well, who's the voice of the enemy? The powers of darkness, the voice of the stranger. Because of the voice in him. Now look at this person is restless and complained. He's saying, please hear my supplication. The voice of the enemy is tormenting me. And because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me. Anybody ever felt any of this? You can all lift your legs in the air almost, huh? And horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. That's carnal understanding. What's he trying to do? Escape the storm. Let me tell you, if you try to come out of this storm, you get caught up in it. Are you with me? I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove and I would fly away and be at rest. You know, the devil always tells you it's greener on the other side, doesn't he? Then when you get here, found out it was nothing but sinking sand. You've been lied to again. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would have hastened my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Now listen, there is a place that I want to talk about today. And when I got up this morning, the Lord said to me, you know, because he knows what's going on. Amen. He said, I want you to talk about waiting through the storm. And I'm thinking, man, we've talked about the storm before, but I'm not going to, okay, whatever you want. He said, waiting through the storm. And I said, okay. And he began to bring, now this stuff comes to me about 8 o'clock this morning. Hallelujah. So we know it's fresh manna. It come right out of the oven. Now, we have a tendency to run when fear or heartache or troubles or confusions come, don't we? We have a tendency to run. Look, at never run in the storm. Never. Why? Because you'll get caught right up in it. And you'll become a whirlwind right with it. And all kinds of trouble will continue. Too many people try to run from the storm. And you and I must learn to wait through the storm. Wait. Look, I go back to the beginning. What's the first thing that causes a storm? You lose your first love. Amen? You lose your first love. Then he says, come on, get back and start right where you, you know, where have you fallen from? Wherever you have fallen from, get back there and start it again. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Nahum. Nahum. He's on page, let's see. How many of y'all in the storm? How many of y'all been in a storm? Praise God. Well, Jesus is saying, don't run, wait. Wait through the storm. You know what he's saying? I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. Man, we have a tendency to get all fleshly in the storm and all emotional. We have a tendency to have to be, let me tell you what the devil begins to do when you're in the storm. He begins to throw and hit you in the soulish arena of emotion. And people go, oh, I feel this, I feel it. Oh, I got to get out of this. And they run right into the storm. Amen? And they get caught up in it. Then the enemy begins to hit you. What did he say? We just read in Psalm 55. He said, oppression. Oh, well, this can only be happening to me. Right? What does he start to do? He starts to bring you to you. So that your focus is on you. Does everybody understand this? Then we start going, oh my God, look at this. I'm underweight, overweight, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I'm this, I'm that. And the devil's going, yeah. See, that's his Bible. He's saying, here's my word, read this. And we begin to read what the devil's telling us, and we begin to confess, and we become stupid and underweight, overweight, and everything else. Because we touch and agree with him, don't we? Hello? You know how many people run to candy when they go in trouble? Man, that refrigerator freezer is full of chocolate. That's it, I'm done. See, they either run to the phone or to the freezer. And then after they get all convicted while they're eating all this stuff, they go, oh God, forgive me. Then they go to the throne room. They get off the phone, oh, Lord, I should have called you first. Yes. Because you realize this person was a bonehead and couldn't help you anyways. This person just doesn't get it. Believe me, there's a lot of people that still don't get it. Is everybody all right? Chapter 1, verse 2. Would you read it with me? God is a jealous and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Hello? And the clouds are the dust of his feet. Whoa. That's powerful, isn't it? Now keep going. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry and dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the flower of Lebanon wilts. The mountains quake before him, the hills melt, and the earth heaves at his presence. Yes, the world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. But with an overflowing flood, he'll make an utter end of its place, and darkness will pursue his enemies. Now let me share something with you. Oh, hallelujah. Why storms? You know, you may think, why storms? Well, you know, God exposes your enemies in storms. Does he? And he just said here, and he chases your enemy in a storm. So he not only exposes your enemy, but he chases your enemy while you're in a storm. See, too many times we think, oh, Lord, listen, you know when you've blown it. Right? So while you're in the storm, what do? You repent, don't you? You, Lord, forgive me. And then you're going, okay, now tell me what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, as you wait for that answer, God is now exposing your enemy, and he's now beginning to chase him. Do you get it? See, yes, but you got to understand something. He's not out to destroy you. God isn't out to destroy you. He's out to destroy your enemy. Why? Because you've been deceived. You've bitten the bait. There's something that you've done. So the storm has come, hasn't it? And when you get into that storm, you wait, you repent, and you say, Lord, forgive me. Whatever I've done. Now he begins to what? Expose what you've done. Why? Because you've been deceived by your enemy. Once you've repented, he exposes your enemy, and he begins to chase them. Now you got to make sure that you're waiting through the storm. You still don't move, do you? Amen? Deception is exposed. Let me share something with you in a second. Let's go to Isaiah first. Isaiah chapter 4. Now as you're waiting for stuff, it's powerful, man, powerful. God is awesome. Isaiah 4. Isaiah chapter 4. Is everybody there? Praise God. Everybody all right? Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. It's still morning, right? Well, no, it's afternoon. It's noon. How time flies when you're having fun. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 3. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem. Now there was a storm there. Hello? And who's ever left and remains. Hello? They didn't try to run, did they? They waited. Will be called what? Holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. The spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. When I was, man, I never saw the Lord, the spirit of burning, the spirit of judgment. And he said to me, it's because I spoke it in. Spirit means what? Breath. See, so whatever's going on, there's always a spirit behind it, no matter what it is. Why? Because when it's spoken to be manifested. In the spirit of what? Judgment, in the spirit of burning. Then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering, and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and for a shelter from storm and rain. This is why you're waiting. Do you understand that? Even though the storm is out there, there's going to be a covering over you. But the first thing you must do is repent. Amen? You repent. Why? For losing your first love, getting caught up, maybe moving ahead of God. Amen? Are you with me? So the storm produces a tabernacle, a place that causes you to come to Him. It promotes holy character of His image and likeness. Storms cause us to seek Him until He comes. Causes us to wait, doesn't it? Amen? Causes us to be able to look back and see. Causes us to shut up and listen. Causes us to sit down and begin to look at things. Does everybody understand that? Because you can't go nowhere. You know that all around you there is a storm. There isn't anything that you can do but is to go to Him and wait. And you know He's coming. You know that you'll get direction. Something is going to happen. Go to Proverbs 16. Wading through the storm. Oh, yes. Praise you, Lord. Proverbs 16 and verse 9. Is everybody there? Would you mind reading it? A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. So, oh, hallelujah. Now you got to understand something, that the storm is going to come when your plan is against God's plan. And you believe that it's God's plan, what you're doing. But all of a sudden the storm comes. What does it do? It comes to bring redirection. A storm will come to bring redirection. Are you with me? A storm will come to bring redirection. So that direction is established. Sometimes we've gone ahead of God. We've gone off course. He's keeping you from protection. Because something's about to happen even worse. And one of the things we don't want to do is bring shame to the Lord, do we? So a storm will come. Again, the first storm is created because you lose your first love. See, when we lose our first love, we do lose direction. Because we're no longer waiting on direction, we're going by emotion. And we're going by what everybody else says and what everybody else is doing. And that's not what God is saying. Amen? Because He has a specific plan for you. In Psalm 119, now what does He say? Come on, go back and do what I told you from the beginning. Hallelujah. Did you ever lose a job? And the storm came? What was God trying to do? Have you wait, wasn't He? Come on, I'm going to redirect you. So what's He going to do? He's going to expose your enemy, isn't He? He's going to chase him. Because the enemy's always going to try to beat you up while you're in the storm. Amen. Now, you might have been so focused on something else instead of the Lord. You might have started going in the wrong direction and being deceived. Because the storm will always expose deception, won't it? And once you acknowledge that deception, let me tell you, God will keep you in the storm until you get it. He'll keep you in the storm until you get it. Once you get it, then he comes. But until you get it, you stay there. The problem is too many people don't wait on God. Then they run and try to do their own thing, and they end up bringing shame to the name of the Lord. And themselves, and cause more trouble. And that storm gets bigger, bigger, and bigger. Are you with me? Hallelujah. In Psalm 119 in verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who what? Keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Here he was crying out, Lord, I want your ways to be directed in me. I want them. Then I would not be what? Ashamed. Why? Because he blew it. He became ashamed. When I look into all your commandments, I will praise you with the uprightness of heart. When I what? Learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Do not forsake. Listen, direction causes us to keep his will. Amen? Now listen, this storm is going to bring us direction, isn't it? One of the things, not only is it going to cause us, right, but he's going to cause us to learn. Sometimes God is trying to teach you something and you're not willing to get it yet. The storm will come. Well, see, when you lose your first love, you lose learning. When you lose your first love, you begin to lose everything. Everything begins to drop off. I don't care how much hallelujah you do and how much praying in tongues you do. When you lose your first love, everything begins to fall. Bit by bit by bit. Because see, what happens is, we got a wonderful teaching called Evidence of Drifting Away. It's powerful. Very powerful. What we begin to do is we begin to drift away. See, because when he's your first love, it's constant. It's not just occasional. It's not when you just need him. It's not when things are just going good or things are going bad. It's constant. Always. Never stops. Never stops. You don't praise him when things are just right. Hello? You praise him when things are bad. Didn't we just sing that song, Praise Him in the Storm? I'll praise him in the storm. Doesn't matter. Even David said, though you slay me, I'll still worship you. See, the storm also causes something else. Causes you to die. It causes you to realize that you can't do it even though you thought you were doing it. See, because even things that we're doing in ministry or at work and so forth, we begin to rely on our own talents and our own strengths. Now, you may be giving God the glory, but he sees your heart. The next thing you know, bam. Sheesh. How'd I get in this storm? Because your heart ain't right with God. Why? Because the only way your heart can't be right with God is when you lose your first love. He must always be your first love. And the only way to maintain that is always keep an attitude of gratitude. Thank you. Never lose where you came from. Never lose sight where you came from, because you'll lose your first love. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? All right, let's go to, let's see. Okay, direction comes. He causes us to learn. Because we've defiled his temple, which is us, by touching unclean things or worldly lusts, storms will come. Go to Psalm 60, verse 65. Same psalm. Would you read it with me? You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I what? I went what? So the storm caused why? You went astray. But I just can't see how I did it. That's why you're in a storm. When you see it, you'll come out. You'll stay there. There's only one who can rescue you from the storm, and that's the Lord. That's it. If you try to rescue yourself, it just gets worse. And let me tell you, the deception grows more and more and more. Everybody else around you sees it, but you don't. I mean, there's lightning and rain on you, and it ain't holy. It's not holy. Psst, oh, you know. Hallelujah. Praise God. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I what? Keep your word. Okay, I got it now. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. So you're afflicted with the storm because it went astray. Then he says, please teach me. Why? Let me share something with you. When you lose your first love, you lose a desire to be taught. Are you listening? When you lose your first love, you lose a desire to be taught. You come into a place of pride that says, I know it all. Let me share with you one of the directions. Deliverance. God not only delivers his church, but he delivers each and every one. There is deliverance services going on, and I'm telling you, don't reject those deliverance services. People are afraid. It's not, well, that's a demon. Then get in. God will direct you to go through deliverance. Amen? He's not only the Savior, he's the deliverer. But you must cooperate with him. When he stretches his hands out, you got to grab it. Too many people in the storm don't grab the hand of God. They'd rather do it themselves. I know it all. They're afflicted because they went astray. They went off course. They lost vision, focus, and purpose. Has everybody got it? How did they go? They went astray by what? They went off course by loss of vision, focus, and purpose. They begin to look for the blessing instead of the blesser. And then they begin to compete with others of who's got the most blessings. And then they begin to brag and promote their blessings. Sometimes God is just saying, shut up, between that's me and you. Lord, do you want me to glorify your name? That's between me and you. You're going to be a stumbling block to your brother. You keep promoting that. Hello? Mark 4. We just have a simple, quick teaching today. God willing. I wouldn't want to bring a stumbling block on myself or my brothers. Mark 4. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4. And verse 35. Everybody there? And with many such parables, he spoke the word. 35. I'll be there in a second. And on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Hallelujah. It's amazing. I love this. He said, let us cross over to the other side. In other words, he let them know that he was going to be with them. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. And he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. You know, many of us really think God sleeps. I'm telling you, when people go in to get into a storm, they're thinking, oh, Lord, please wake up. He's not sleeping. God don't sleep, man. Hello? He's not sleeping. You got to remember something. He said, let us cross over to the other side. If he said, let us cross over to the other side, you know what's going to happen? They're going to the other side. Hello? Did God ever tell you something? And then the storm came? Hello? Of course, the storm came because you lost vision, focus, and purpose. You lost your first love. Maybe moved ahead of God, whatever. But what did he tell you? He said, I'm bringing you to the other side. But then everybody wants to abandon. Oh, good. I must find another way. No, you must wait for the way. Hallelujah. In verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling, and he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to them, Please, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? Didn't I tell you we'd go to the other side? How is it that you have no faith of what I've said? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Hello, who can this be? Would I lose sight of that too? He reveals himself in the storm to show you who he is and that he is there for you and never leaves you. And he also, even let me share something with you. The Bible says that all things will work to the good. He can take that storm that you're in and increase your faith. He can take that storm that you're in and bring a testimony that will keep you going to rescue other people. All things will work to the good to those who love him according to his purpose. If you believe that you love him, and that you are called, then you can't allow that storm to run your life. You must wait. Because you know, he said he's going to take you to the other side. Amen? And he's not asleep. He's right there, waiting to take you to the other side. What? To teach you. To expose your enemy. To chase your enemy. To redirect you. To hold you back from something more dangerous or disastrous. And as you repent and you wait for direction, he's going to bring you the direction. And he's going to get all the glory because you're going to have a new testimony. Another one to add to your book. And he's going to increase your faith. Go to Matthew 14. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get in the boat. Man, he was putting his dudes through the storm. He was teaching them, wasn't he? He was training them. How are you going to know who God is unless you go through a storm? Well, can't he do it another way? He does, occasionally. Bring a visitation or something to that degree. He increases your faith. Things happen, you know. Hey, you're here today. You're still alive. You're not in hell, right? Think of where you are today when compared to where you were. Hallelujah. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples. I love that. Okay, you guys ready? Storm 101. Part 2. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the what? Other side. Oh, man, he always brings you through. While he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. I can just see him up there. Oh, Lord, how much longer are you going to keep me here? How much more do I have to put up with these disciples? Now, when evening came, he was alone there. He's probably saying, finally. Thank you. You got to remember, you know, he did put on flesh. Even though it was made of the word. It said that he was joyful. He moaned and all kinds of stuff. You know, I mean, he groaned in the spirit. He was sorrowful. I'm sure he kept going, my God, help me. So he went up there to intercede for himself, probably. I don't know. I know we would have, right? Let him go. I need some help, man, you know. Hallelujah. Is it hot in here? Wow. Glory. Is that fan on? All right. In verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, you couldn't swim either way. Too far. Tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. Oh, it's getting rough now. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the water. Again, you got to understand something, that there was a myth going on. If they saw a ghost walking on the water, it meant that the boat was going to sink and they were all going to die. That was the myth of the fishermen. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. In other words, they went bonkers. Saying what? It is a ghost! And they cried out for fear. Why? Because they thought they were all going to drown and die. But they forgot that the Lord sent them to the other side. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Let me tell you, in the storm, that's what he says. Be of good cheer. It's me. Don't be afraid. Yeah, but. We all get in that but ministry, you know. Yeah, but Lord, you don't but. He says, man, you're the head, not the tail. I told you we're going to the other side. We're going. The storm is just exposing where you're at. Didn't I tell you this? Well, you little faith. You little flesh creature, you. Hallelujah. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you. I mean, he was freaked out. But he was the only one willing to stand up. Everybody else was underneath the hull. They were throwing stuff overboard, looking for a life jacket. Of course, they didn't make any then. Anything that would float. Because they knew, they were for sure, they were going to die. Peter picked his head up. Yeah, man, it looks like the Lord. Okay, Lord, if that's you before I die. Now, we all heard the voice, but most of us don't believe it. Hello? He said, but if it is you. Now, Peter was the only one who was willing to test God. He was actually testing the voice. The Bible says what? Test the spirits, whether they are of God or not. Peter did. And he said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Can you imagine all the other disciples and what they were thinking? What's he, nuts? You're going to walk in the water? Come on, I want to see this. They all came out then. They probably made popcorn and all sat at the end of the boat. Let's watch this. And Jesus said, come. Whoa, now that really blew everybody's mind. Come on, Pete. You're the only one. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was what? Afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you little bonehead. No. He said, you have little faith. Why did you doubt me? Why did you forget? Didn't I tell you Oh, you little faith. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Yeah, now they really worshipped. How many times do people go through a storm? Then they get back to real worship. Amen? See, but in the meantime, they became compromised. They began to worship God with their mouth and not their heart. They stopped seeking God with all their heart. Lost their first love. Got them in the storm. Why? Because they were moved ahead. They were doing all kinds of things they were supposed to be doing. It wasn't God's timing. See, God's time is God's will. And God's will is God's time. All of a sudden, the storm comes. Then everything halts. Everything stops. Man, no matter what I do, ain't working. Praise God. It's time for redirection. It's time to get back to your first love. Amen? We must wait for the command. Admit your faults and he will come. Has everybody got it? Go to 2 Chronicles 20. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Do you want to hear the rest of this? Well, if you said no, I'd have told you to die anyways. Hallelujah. Now, why are we getting this? Because some of us are in a storm. Hello? Some of us are about ready to go in one. And he's trying to rescue you from going in it. Or he's trying to get you to come out of one. Are you with me? But we're going to praise him even though we're in the storm. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1, and it happened after that the people of Moab and with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. In other words, Jehoshaphat was in trouble. He was in a storm. And some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, man, a great multitude is coming. The storm's coming. And they're coming from this beyond the sea. They're coming from everywhere. You cannot fight them naturally. You are outnumbered. There's no way you're going to win this. And Jehoshaphat said, in verse 3, feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. Okay, everybody, no work. Everybody stop what you're doing. We need to seek the Lord. Stop what you're doing. Seek the Lord. So all Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel. Now Jehazel was a prophet. God always sends you a word. How many of y'all have been crying for help? Well, today the words come. Come on. Right? And what did he say? In verse 15, he said, listen. Hello? What did he say? Listen. 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 In other words, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Now, when you listen, you must put it and mix it with faith. Now, if you believe this message is for you today, it is. And if you don't, it's still for you. Well, I'm not in a storm. You just don't know it. Praise God. And he said, listen, all you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but who? God's. See, when you're in a storm, you don't have to battle. That's a place of wait. That's a place of trust. See, but we get so caught up in battle. Now, don't get me wrong. Triumph and victory comes with battle. But when you're in a storm, the only thing that you can do is wait. You've done all you can to stand, right? You've battled already. Now you're in there. Now you wait. You wait for the Lord to come. You wait for the direction. Then you wait for the command to come out. Oh, hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Because of this multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, and they will surely come up by the ascent of Zid, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. You will not need to fight in this battle. What does he say? Position yourself. In other words, come on, get back in position again. And what? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is what? Is with you. Does everybody understand that? Amen? Then you know what he does? He gives them direction. He says, now what I want you to do now, I guess I better show you. Go to verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be what? Oh. Believe his prophets, and you will what? Prosper. How many of y'all want to be established? How many of y'all want to prosper? Praise God. Then you got to believe in the Lord, and you got to believe the manna. Somebody got it? Fresh? What? Manna. Does everybody got it? Why? Because that's the fresh word of the Lord. It's fresh from the throne room of God. That's how you're going to prosper, isn't it? See, but we've got to learn to get it ourselves, too. Because, see, some people aren't prospering in the area. No, you know, how many all know the devil loves to bless you, too? Well, he loves to bless you. Why? Bless you right out of the will of God. Come on, do you get it? He wants to bless you right out of the will of God. You know, even the devil will bless you till you lose your focus from the blesser and begin to focus on the blessing and keep telling God, oh, thanks for the blessing, thanks for the blessing. And he's over there and you're going, thanks for the blessing, thanks for the blessing. And you're walking right out of misdirection. Are you hearing this? Why? Because he wants relationship more than anything else. He wants a relationship. He wants you to come back to the first love. He wants you to want him. Hallelujah. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should what? Sing to the Lord. And who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. So what did he say? Come on, praise me through the storm. Praise me through the storm. Praise me through. Now look at. Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord did what? Set ambushes against the people, against the enemies. He set an ambush against them. Against Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. And the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they what? Helped to destroy one. They destroyed each other. Now the army of Judah never even made it there yet. They were still praising and worshiping God. The praise and worship team went before the army. And by praising and worshiping the Lord set ambushes on their enemies. They all killed one another. Hallelujah. Now look at this. In verse 24. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and there they were what? Dead bodies. Fallen on the earth, no one had escaped. And they're trying to look at their swords to see if there's any blood on them. How did we get there and do this? You didn't. The battle was the Lord's. That's all you did was praise him through the storm. And he exposed your enemies and chased them. Hello? Now look it, here's the beauty of it. Are you ready? Verse 25. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, here comes the prosperity. They found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Hallelujah! Oh, to God be the glory. Hallelujah! Go to Isaiah 40. I got more, but I think we got it. Isaiah 40. Praise God. Did you get it? We'll see. Hallelujah. Believe in the Lord your God and you'll be established. Believe in the fresh word of the Lord and you will prosper. Hallelujah. Battle's not yours in the storm, it's the Lord's. You do all you can to stand. Why does the storm come? Because you lose your first love, you lose focus, direction. Amen? You lose purpose. You get caught up in the blessings instead of the blesser. And the enemy comes and deceives us. In Isaiah 40 and verse 31, would you read it? And it says what? And those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who what? Wait on the Lord. Now I'm going to close at Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Glory. Hallelujah. You know, the enemy's not stupid. He knows exactly how to deceive you. He knows how to speak to you. He knows how to cause emotions. Of course, if you're truly not seeking, you'll accept anything and then agree with it. You know, the enemy loves, the Bible says that there's unity, there's a special anointing in the unity. Amen. One of the things he wants to do is not allow us to get to that fresh word. Because see, even the Bible says if you lose vision, you go astray. Because you know you no longer restrain things. You just, okay. Some people just lose care. Amen. In Psalm 1, would you read it with me? It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, blessed is the person that walks in the counsel of the godly. But some people don't get counsel. They get counsel from neighbors, from other people that don't even know the Lord well. Hello? They get counsel from immature believers. They don't get counsel from officers, far be it, they might know the truth. But see, they're also, the demon in them is looking for something to confirm in them so they don't have to do the will of God. Yeah, that sounds good. I'll take that. Run with it. Amen? And let me tell you, that opens an area of demonic activity. That'll bring a storm. It also breaches the love of God. And I'm talking about your love for God, not his love for you. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the godly. So blessed is a man who walks in the counsel of the godly and curses a man who doesn't. Nor stands in the path of sinners. It amazes me at how many people take counsel or get in the path. Yeah, man, it's a good friend of mine. Yeah. Yeah, well, they drink, they smoke, and they party, but, you know, I hang with them. Well, you're as dumb as they are. The Bible says, come out from among them. It says, do not be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. It's amazing how people will go to counsel from the world. They go to some psychiatrist who wants to medicate them. blows my mind. I went home to visit my family, and some of my family members, you know, going through stuff, and they're zombied. Yes, I went to see a psychiatrist. What's your name, man? Oh, they're doing a good job for you. They'll seek worldly counsel before they'll seek godly counsel. Because the spirit in them won't allow them to know the truth. Then they trust in self and in man. The Bible says, now listen, that brings a curse. It opens the door to demonic activity. Are you hearing? And that storm will continue. Although they're so medicated, they can't get it. What's that above my head? Are you hearing me? They can't get it. Hallelujah. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. Now listen. When people don't get it, that's all they can do is talk bad about it. What they don't understand, they talk evil of. Then people call good evil. And the Bible says that. That people will call good evil in the last days. And evil good. Amen. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now here we go. And in the law he meditates day and night. In other words, he seeks to obey God's word. He doesn't. Now listen, I'm not talking about memorization. I'm talking about visualization. He meditates. He sees it. Now look at verse 3. Would you read it with me? And he, listen, when you do this, when you seek godly counsel, right? When you stop the garbage coming out of your mouth, when you stop hanging around with unbelievers and people of the world who don't know nothing, are you hearing? And you come out and you get and you fellowship with the body of Christ, and you begin to fall in line with the ruling laws of the kingdom of God, something's going to happen. And he says, look at. He shall, and if he delights in it, it says that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Shall prosper. Shall what? Prosper. That's where we want to get to, don't we? Now I'm going to finish that teaching Tuesday. Not this one. Prepare for overflow. But it's going to be called, that teaching is going to be time for overflow. Hallelujah. Now, do you all get it? Now, Jesus is the only one that can calm the storm. Jesus is the only one that can rescue you. Amen? So while you're going through that storm, regardless of why you're in that storm, repent for getting in there. Get back to your first love, your first work. Get back to what God has told you to do from the beginning when things were going good. Hello? And he will come to you. And he will redirect you. The battle will be his and not yours. You just stand and wait. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We are honored and blessed for the fresh food this morning. Fresh. Lord, I pray that the seed that's been imparted will grow and bear fruit for your glory. Help us, Lord, to seek godly counsel. Help us, Lord, to show us the right way. Open the doors that are of you and shut the doors that are not. Now, Lord, we take this opportunity to repent for any area why we're in the storm. Whatever causes us to come in the storm, we repent for losing our first love for you. We repent, Lord, for doing it our way and seeking the worldly way. We repent and we ask for your forgiveness, Lord. Please, search us through, remove those things, and bring your light and truth, refreshing and healing to each and every one as we are prepared for communion. In Jesus' name.